Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. The Lord bless you with more hope than your heart can hold, and use the overflow to fill you with the courage to do what you thought impossible. Sometimes in our lives we think, oh, I can't do that. I just can't do that. I can't think of that. And yet God's saying all things are possible if you believe. So I'm so grateful that he brings the scriptures like all things are possible to those who believe from Mark 9:23, and things that we think are impossible are not possible with God. Oh, it's a joy to have you join us today. You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. And what a joy to have you on Call to Freedom, Kimberly.
Thank you. I believe you have a meeting coming up this weekend, don't you? And I'm sad that I'm not going to be there.
Oh, well, yes, I am sad that you're not going to be there either, but I know that you have a full plate where you are also. And yes, we are going to have a meeting, and it's the usual. And call for reservations at 1-877-917-7256. And are you sitting outside on your patio?
Oh, I'm not sitting outside. Oh, I just had my door open.
Oh, the
I
birds.
I bet you hear all the birds.
Yes.
My little wrens are just having a good day.
Oh, I hear them. It's wonderful. And what a win last night for the conservatives. As I watched the show, I calculated each state's voting. And joy to know that the Republicans turned out in Colorado, because almost 800,000 voted Republican, Kimberly. And those are from outlying rural areas and not the metropolitan areas, because those are usually Democrat, which they were. They showed a map. But thank you so much, all of you who voted. It was wonderful. Praise the Lord for your courage to vote your heart and vote for the conservatives.
And you know me, I like to just recognize anyone who gets out to vote. I just so appreciate the people who want to be involved. And whether it's Republican or Democrat, you know me now, mm-hmm. I just love all my brothers and sisters. And it hasn't really been working from where I sit, what I'm looking at. It hasn't been working for us to just continue to battle against each other. It's really going to be more and more coming together and having agreement with each other. So instead of, you know, one side, Republican versus Democrat, I just really want to see more and more unity and harmony and bonds of peace. As I continue to think about how hard it is to have peace when we are constantly arguing, and the arguing, that's what I came up on in Numbers 13 and 14, that they were part of my reading this week. And mm-hmm. Numbers is the continuation of the Exodus, really. So the Exodus of the Israelites from Egypt coming out into the wilderness. And Numbers records a lot of their movement and finishing of the tabernacle, mm-hmm. and giving authority to the priests and all of that, the instructions that are involved in that. And by Numbers 13, the spies were sent into the Promised Land. And I believe it took a year and a month and a week. I think that's how long it took from the Exodus out of Egypt to the Promised Land. And in that year and month and week, that is how long it took them to build everything that was needed for the tabernacle and mm-hmm. to be fed. Wow, that's a long time to feed what they're thinking was a million people or more.
Yes, I've heard statistics say 3 million. Yes.
I've heard that too.
Yes.
I've heard that too. And we don't know the exact number because they really just numbered men at that time. And there were mm-hmm. definitely 600,000 men who were able and capable and recorded, capable of going to war, of mm-hmm. working in the tabernacle, mm-hmm. so workers. That's a lot of men. And so that's not including children and women, and maybe mm-hmm. not including the senior citizens of the group. I don't know.
Yes.
But we don't have details, and that's a lot of people. There's a number of people that needed food, that needed water. We've been talking about them on past programs. This section of Numbers 13 and 14, where they sent the spies out, they're finally on the border of the Promised Land.
Mm-hmm.
And the spies go in and take 40 days to check it out, to just walk through and take, you know, measurements and look at cities and find out if those cities are fortified and what the people are like. And when they come back, in Numbers 13, starting in verse 25, it says, at the end of 40 days, they returned from scouting the land. They went straight to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. And they made their report to them and to the whole community as they showed them the fruit of the land. Mm-hmm. This is what they told him. We came to the land you sent us to. It does indeed flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who inhabit the country are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the Anakites there. Amalekites dwell in the Negeb region. Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites inhabit the hill country, and Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. Caleb hushed the people before Moses and said, let us by all means go up, and we shall gain possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we cannot attack that people, for they are stronger than we. These men spread calumnies, a bad report among the Israelites about the land that they had scouted, saying, the country that we traveled and scouted is one that devours its settlers. All the people we saw in it are men of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The Anakites are part of the Nephilim. And we looked like grasshoppers to ourselves, and so we must have looked to them. Wow. I was just reading from Numbers 13, verses 25 through 33, and this is the report that came back from the 12 spies that spent 40 days in the Promised Land. And that does not sound like a very good report. They think they look like grasshoppers, and they believed that they must look like grasshoppers in the eyes of the people of that land. In Isaiah 40, verse 22, God tells us that it is He who is enthroned above the vault of the earth, so its inhabitants seem like grasshoppers to Him. So the people of God here that came back with a report about the Promised Land, they really had the situation backwards. The people of God, when they know that God sees the inhabitants of this earth and they're like grasshoppers to Him, if we are His kids, then we're not the grasshoppers. We don't look like the grasshoppers in the eyes of the enemy. The enemy looks like grasshoppers.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand when you walk up to somebody who's, especially you, Mom, when you walk up to someone who's 7 feet tall.
All I see is their belt buckle. And don't you think the Lord knew that the Hittites would be there, the Jebusites would be there, and the Amorites would be there? Absolutely, he knew. And Dr. Zodiati says they were camped in the Kadesh Barnea area, which is an oasis in the wilderness. And their experience there was almost entirely negative. Almost entirely. So I'm wondering, you know, when God says he's get out these countries little by little because we don't want them with you, there comes a little schism here that who do we allow in the country with all their left policies? I'm going to bring it up again. With all their left policies and gender-related things, do we keep those in our country? Or do we clean them out? Like, you know, God said to Israel, I want you to clean out these countries from where I promised you the promised land. That, you know, it's just a fine line here.
Right. And I know that you're bringing up those particular... I'm going to go ahead and just speak to that, because I believe that what God was wanting out of the country were those people who were sacrificing their children mm-hmm. to other gods.
Yes.
Those who were practicing a lot of just dark lawlessness. I don't even want to go into details.
Well, they're doing that here today in this country. They're cutting off genitalia from precious little boys and girls.
Well, I understand. Yeah. And I also understand that abortion is something that we don't want to keep giving funds to. We don't want to support that. I understand that, because life is precious.
It is.
Life is precious to us. I just believe that more and more of us as human beings, just brothers and sisters in the human race, there are more of us who are understanding that we were made for kindness. We were made for goodness. We were made for the fruits of the Spirit of God. We were made in God's image, not in the image of darkness and calamity and depression and hopelessness. That's not what we were made for. And so getting back to Numbers 13, we're talking about just separate opinions here. And I know that I talk a lot about opinions and agendas, so I've concluded I must have been so full of my own opinions, really what I was doing with those opinions, because I'm not going to get rid of my opinions and you're not going to get rid of yours.
Mm-mm.
That's not the point. But what we do with them is the point. And I think being confronted by miracle after miracle in my life really revealed truth to me. And that truth was opposing my opinions. Mm-hmm. And I needed to be able to look at that truth and decide what I was going to believe. See, when the Israelites saw that the people of the land were large and the cities were fortified, they were looking at a fact. And it was simply a fact.
Yes.
But the idea that came to them, we must look like grasshoppers in their eyes, that's an opinion. And it's an opinion that would stir up fear, an opinion that was not shared by God. God was not the one saying, oh, you all look like grasshoppers in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And he would not have said that.
No, he wouldn't.
Just by talking about Isaiah 40:22. And so what we do with our opinion and what we decide to act on is what is important. They could have the opinion that they look small in the eyes, or they can compare themselves. You know, we can have that opinion, but they took action on it.
Mm-hmm.
They acted out of fear and said, oh no, we cannot, and started spreading bad reports. Well, if we're basing our opinions on the facts of this world, that's not very wise.
Yes, I think we grew up with a religious spirit that said, your behavior is going to send you to hell. And it's not people's behavior that's going to send them to hell, Kimberly. It is the denying Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord that's going to send them to hell. So we have been judging people falsely all these, centuries upon centuries. Well, you've done this and you've done that. And it's just like I was listening to Donna Rice Hughes, who she had a horrible, torturous adult life because she was found with Gary Hart, who was running for president of the United States in the early 80s. And so she had to overcome this horrible image that had been put on her because these religious people, I'm including me, said, whoa, she's going to hell. Well, no. She had accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior, and okay, so she found herself in a really bad situation, but that wasn't going to send her to hell. And
right, and you know what's so sad about our judgments and what we do with our opinions, the way that we just let that spill out of our mouths in such a negative way, what's so horrible is that when we do have a relationship with Jesus, then other people think he acts like us.
Oh, yeah.
And that's so not true. He's so full of kindness and mercy, and he came to set us free. He came asking those who are burdened and weary to come to him because he wants to give you rest.
That's right.
That is why he came. And so that, you know, it's just not wise on any level for us to open our mouths and be so judgmental and critical on our opinions when our opinions are bringing fear, unbelief, doubt, worry, anxiety, stress. It's that's a good time to go to the Lord. That's a good time to go to your closet and start praying,
that's
not
right.
just letting it spill out of your mouth everywhere. And Joshua and Caleb had to quiet everybody and talk to them. And I love Caleb's opinion that's recorded in Numbers 14, the next chapter over, verses 7 through 9. Joshua and Caleb here are trying to convince the multitude to not be afraid. And it says, "The land that we traversed and scouted is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us," and he is, because they're his people.
That's right.
"He will bring us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and give it to us."
Yes, he promised that to his God, to the people. He did. He promised that land to the people through Abraham.
And he does not go back on his promises ever.
No, he doesn't. No.
"Only you must not rebel against the Lord. Have no fear then of the people of this country, for they are our prey. Their protection has departed from them, but the Lord is with us. Have no fear of them." Mm-hmm. Notice how they say, don't rebel against God. Have no fear.
Well, don't you think the men of Israel, even there were 600,000, they were thinking they had to fight the enemies. They had to go in and fight them. And God, every time he says, I will defeat them. You go in and stand in my name, and I will defeat them. And they thought they had to do it on their own.
And you know, it's interesting because God did defeat the enemies of Egypt by just covering them over with the Red Sea, right?
Yeah,
he drowned them.
They just saw
but
that.
Then they, but then they did, between that time and now, as they're looking at the promised land, they did have a battle.
They did.
And Joshua led them out to battle, and Moses, as long as Moses' hands were up in the air, they were winning.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a long battle, and Moses was getting tired, and when his hands went down, they weren't winning. You know, when you are in something, you're facing a battle, and it looks like you're not winning, and it might take longer than you expected for those enemies of yours to be routed,
mm-hmm.
I can see how you would be worried. I understand it. I'm just saying that I understand and I have compassion. So I can get how you might want to prevent another day of war. You don't really want to do it again, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to go through it again. It's hard. It's hard to think of going back into battle. But they didn't even ask God what he intended.
That's
they
right.
just started trying to prevent what looked like the worst in their minds. We don't want to do that. And having your own opinion, it's not wrong. It's just what we do with the opinion. If we're trying to prevent something, if we're trying to control it, if we're trying to make it different than what it is, that's when we want to be more careful and say, not my will, but yours be done. Mm-hmm. Jesus came to show us that we were made to bring all of our opinions before the Lord, knowing that He sees the end from the beginning. And saying, not my will, but yours be done, is another way of saying, not my opinion, but your opinion, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
And just bringing ours to Him when we do feel fear, when we do feel anxiety, we just want to bring those opinions to God and let Him be the one to cover us and give us some direction, mm-hmm. guidance, and know that He's the one guiding. We don't have to do it on our own.
That's right. And like the lady that called in Monday with the skin cancer, and she applied the blood of Jesus. See, we've got so many more tools, Kimberly, than they had then. We have Jesus. I mean, can you get any better than Him? And the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, and all the tools that are mentioned in Ephesians 6:10, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We got so many more weapons that they didn't have back then. They had to be very much more practical in getting the enemy out of the country. But I believe God has just blessed us with such great divine things this day and age.
Yes. Oh. I see this story very much as my own individual journey, you know, because early on in life when I was confronting things and I didn't like what was going on or what was coming next, I would definitely want to take control mm-hmm. and say, oh no, we're not doing that, and try to prevent something bad from happening. Mm-hmm. But, you know, after this, when the Lord told them, okay, you're not going to be the ones entering the promised land now. Wow.
Yeah.
That's hard.
It is.
You know, but He had good plans in that. God had good plans in that. You know, 40 years ago, if He had trusted me to be on the radio, it just wouldn't have turned out very good.
You're talking about you?
Yeah, right. I was a teenager, and it just would have not been anything good to say. So thank you, God, that you did not give me a voice out on the airwaves back then. But 40 years later, He knew the kinds of things that would die in me, mm-hmm. the things that needed to be crushed and pressed and bruised mm-hmm. and broken, not to harm me, but so that the Spirit of God could rise up in me.
Yes.
So my flesh would decrease and He would increase. Mm-hmm. And that's what we all want. We want to keep our eyes on letting the Spirit of God increase and let the flesh ways decrease. And so that was really God's plan, was to say, okay, we need about 40 years here. Because if
right.
I bring you into the promised land the way you are, it's not going to go very well.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to go very well. And, you know, who wants to get into something too soon and then have it crash and burn later?
Yes. And we've seen so much down through history, Kimberly, that God uses people that are mature and experienced. Even, you know, Colonel Sanders, Kentucky Fried Chicken, people that were older in their lives. Abraham Lincoln had gone through so many defeats before he became president of the United States. And even yeah. now they're saying, oh, we've got two old men, two old geezers, and we want young people. Well, maybe the old have the experience and the maturity and the knowledge to lead a country that is divisive. So I understand
yeah.
what you're saying about having those 40 years of experience. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And I think we tend to be less afraid. Hopefully, we mm. are less afraid as we grow and age and mature.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Dr. E. Stanley Jones recorded this. I'm going to read this quote from him.
It's so good.
I am inwardly fashioned for faith, not for fear. Fear is not my native land. Faith is.
Yes.
I am so made that worry and anxiety are sand in the machinery of my life. Faith is the oil. I live better by faith and confidence than by fear, doubt, and anxiety. In anxiety and worry, my being is gasping for breath.
That's right.
these are not my native air to breathe. But in faith and confidence, I breathe freely. These are my native air. He continues to say, a John Hopkins University doctor says, we do not know why it is that worriers die sooner than the non-worriers.
Oh, yes.
But that is a fact.
Yes.
But I, who am simple of mind, think I know. We are inwardly constructed. We are inwardly constructed in nerve and tissue, brain cell and soul, for faith and not for fear. God made us that way.
That's right.
To live by worry is to live against reality.
Oh, so good.
I was reading in Colossians 3, and in verse 14, it says, love becomes the mark of true maturity. And as we grow in love toward one another, we start being merciful, and we start to understand others. We start practicing compassion and showing kindness, gentleness, humility. We're unoffendable. We're unoffendable.
Yes.
In our patience with others, and we tolerate weaknesses. We forgive one another. And that is love. Love is what flows through every one of those characteristics and qualities. And love is the mark of true maturity. And that's what we want. We want to grow in love and faith, not more fear and anxiety.
Oh, that's right. So good. Oh, you know, we are more than overcomers. And if God is for us, who can be against us? And Kimberly, our verse for this week was Psalm 20, verse 7. Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God.
Praise the Lord. That's so good.
Yes, amen. Oh, it was so good. Thank you so much for this wonderful teaching from Numbers 13 and 14. Oh, God bless you.
And don't be afraid. Take joy.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.